Bill is telling me, just in case you don't know it, that the scripture verse that Travis Collins used as the focus of his sermon today is the focus verse for the youth trip. And so that sermon will have had special meaning for them. I think it didn't get mentioned, but Mike and Joan have a wedding coming up this week. And if they look a little more stressed than usual, then there probably is a reason for that. I had an interesting week. And outside of all the other things that we've talked about this morning, I had the wonderful opportunity to be able to go to the doctor's office for a moment or two, nothing serious. But I was in there maybe 3 or 4 minutes when I saw a familiar body walking over to the window and signing in. And so I walked up behind Bob Cochran and said, "Don't look back, somebody might be behind you." And we visited for a little while, and I found out that he was there for a vitamin B12 shot. Is that right? About 3 weeks ago, when we moved my father into the retirement home, and you've heard a little bit about that, my mother had a Cool Whip container. That's what you keep your medicine in, right? A Cool Whip container that had all of my dad's medicines, plus a chart of what he was supposed to take and when he was supposed to take it. And I was told, make sure that gets down to the retirement home for Dad, because he's not going to remember it. And so I was the one that took all that down there. Well, 2 days later, I'm with her in the hospital, and she says, every month I give him a vitamin B12 shot, and that's in the refrigerator. We forgot to take that. And she told me where the needles were, told me where the vitamin B12 stuff was. And I got all that together and took it back down there, and then I see Bob come up and take a vitamin B12 shot. Now, Bob's the expert. You guys are going to have to do the work. Why do people get vitamin B12 shots? Make the blood work better. Okay? I've got an aunt who once every 3 weeks, I think it is, gets a gamma globulin shot. What's that for? We got a nurse in here, I think. We might have some. You all know? Yeah, builds up the immune system. Okay.
Got anything for memory?
I used to know, but I forgot. Yeah. I heard that at St. John's Wort for something. In any event, I was driving back and forth to this place and that place. Heard David Jeremiah talk about something for a minute or two. Got intrigued and went to his website to see if I could find out any more about it. And it turned out I got completely distracted by something else I found on the website. So this week and next week, you get to listen to some things that David Jeremiah originated. I'm giving him full credit for that. But I'm going to steal it shamelessly and share with you a piece or two of that. Okay? And I want to just keep putting some things together. I had not seen the Copelands for about 3 weeks. She was playing the bells this morning, so I got to talk to her this morning. And I've got some websites pegged in my bookmarks. If you use a computer, you know what I'm talking about. And I went into a section of those bookmarks I normally don't go into and realized that I had bookmarked Stephanie Copeland's webpage for journals and stuff. So I started reading those journals. I had not realized what's been going on with Stephanie. But she has spent several weeks, maybe a month or two, out in California in an operation called Project Walk. This isn't the stem cell stuff we heard about some time back. It's, can she walk with what she's got now? Not, can we do something new? And reading her journal was amazing. And I'm reading her journal, and she says, "I went to David Jeremiah's church." And then she said, "And David Jeremiah spent some time with me. And he's the most encouraging person I've ever seen." Well, I knew that already. And so here, these things were sort of happening. And what I got distracted on was, David Jeremiah said, "I've been noticing that I get a lot of junk mail encouraging me to pay attention to my health." and I see a lot of things popping in on the websites and coming in on television commercials, worrying about my health. And he said, I got to thinking, what is it that keeps me from getting sick? If I'm not getting sick, what is it keeps me from getting sick? And the answer that he gave is what Paul just talked about with the gamma globulin shot. It is your immune system is a protection. It's not the only one. You know, you stay away from some things, and that's probably a good thing too. During that doctor's visit, I heard those words that you always hate to hear. You need more exercise. You need to eat right. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? But he said he got to thinking about the physical immune system. What does the immune system need to keep itself in high gear to where you're adequately protected? That's about as much as I'm going to steal from him at the moment, which is that little idea. Think about the immune system. What do you have to do to keep your immune system going? What does it need?
It needs food.
Anything else? Stay with nutrition for a minute, but food,
water. Rest is number 4 on my list, so I'm pretty
good. Otherwise, I get out of order and I get off. You got food and water, though. I'm so cheap when I go to a restaurant, water's what I drink, and a lot of it. There's one more thing. Sunlight's not a bad idea. It's not appropriate. It's that it didn't make the list, and I'm ready to work off this list.
Peace of mind.
You got it, Bob. Tranquility. Peace.
I was going to say calm.
Say what? Let's move on. Four or five more random things to comment before we get too far started. Some of you will have picked up a copy of the prayer list in the back of the room. There's an item there that has to do with Darlene Castelbecchi. June 15th would have been the birthday of her granddaughter. We've lost more out of this class than just that. And you will not know who the family is, but the Copelands have a daughter who's struggling with paralysis. The Hans and the Castelbeckis have lost daughters. There's another family that's dealing with a kid who, in driving, made a choice, and he's going to spend a little time in jail. And I had a chat with one of the parents this week, and they said that there had been some heated discussion because the sentence came down this week. And all of a sudden they saw the note about Diana. And all of a sudden the hot words went away and the hugs started because they thought about what could have happened. Troubles come. And sometimes, doesn't matter what kind of immune system you got, you're still going to have all kinds of consequences. But if your immune system is in good shape, you might be okay. Now, here's the last little piece. I swear to you, I do not know what to do with this one. But I've got to put it in, because it was in the paper this week, and some of you saw it. Did you see the story about rats in the paper this week? Sewer rats. Did you read that article? You read that article? You read it. Some of you read it. They did a study of the immune system. See how this fits? Of the immune system of sewer rats and compared it to the immune system of lab rats that weren't yet used for lab studies but had been kept in controlled environments and all this kind of stuff. What do you think they found?
Stronger
immune systems in the sewer rats. Why? Because they had built up immunity to all these things they were exposed to. Let me say again, I don't know what to do with that one. It's sitting over here to the side, but I think it connects. David Jeremiah didn't talk about sewer rats.
Well, I'm just going to... I'm just going to leave that up there. If I remember, somebody pointed to that before the end. I do have a comment or two to make.
He made a comment that if I look at it right, I think it was about sewer rats. Because he said, think about what Paul said. He said one time, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And this is the way Jeremiah put it. His spiritual experience was the equivalent of a person walking through a place with deadly pathogens, viruses, and bacteria, with no protection except what you walked in with, and yet not succumbing to any of them. He said Paul had a spiritual immune system strong enough that while he had experienced occasional fevers, chills, headaches, and sniffles, he was never knocked out of action. His spiritual body was well fed and well nourished. His defenses were strong and his resources were well stocked. So my question this morning is, what is your spiritual immune system like today? And what does it need to be strong? And Jeremiah's answer was, it needs food. It needs water. It needs exercise. It needs rest. And it needs peace of mind and tranquility. And I want to just take you this morning to a list of these. I want to let you know there's a second lesson coming. Because Jeremiah had two lessons at this point. I'm going to steal both of them. Because what he says is, it's well to know this list. But the question is, what do you really do to get these things in? We can talk about what the needs are. That's what we're going to do today. But the next time we're together, which, with God willing, will be next week, I'm going to take you into a second list of 10 very specific areas of spiritual discipline that put these five things in place. I don't have a connection between the 10 and the 5. I don't think I'm going to look for one. But that's what we're going to talk about. So what I'd like for you to do is, in your Bibles, I want to talk about food first. Find Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm looking at verse 3. If you see somebody near you who's struggling to find it, you show them how to find it, or you share yours. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. My translation says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Anybody remember what the word manna means? What is this stuff? I'm told that's the translation of that word, that the word manna means, what is this stuff? I heard one time that a particular sauce that's used on meats got its name from something of that same thing. A king was supposed to have said one time, what's this here sauce? That's probably not true. He let you go hungry. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did that to teach you that people need more than bread in order to live. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. Psalm 119, 103. Let me just read that for you. If you want to write it down, you can look at it later. In this translation says, "How pleasant are your promises to my palate, sweeter than honey in my mouth." If you take a look in Matthew chapter 4, you see Jesus tempted of the devil. And after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Satan came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves of bread." But Jesus replied by quoting what? Deuteronomy 8:3. Now here's how it's worded in my translation at this point. "Human beings do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Find the book of John. This, I think, may be the most interesting of these. John chapter 4. I want to give you a little context for this. John chapter 4 talks about Jesus meeting the woman by the well. Where was that well? What district was that in, or what area? It was in Samaria, right? Look at the first couple of verses. Chapter 4 of John. "When Jesus heard the Pharisees had found out he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though in fact it was his disciples who had baptized, not Jesus himself, he left Judea and went back to Galilee." Now the end of that says this. He had to pass through Samaria. Does yours say that? How did most Jewish people go from Judea, which was in the south, to Galilee, which was in the north? They crossed the River Jordan. They went up through what's called the Decapolis, or the Ten Cities, and then they came back in across the Jordan River, back up near Galilee, and were in Galilee. Why did they do that? So they would avoid going through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Why? Maybe he had an appointment at a well. So most of this talks about his encounter with the woman at the well. And when that encounter takes place, Jesus was alone at the well. And after all that was over with, verse 27, his disciples come back. And that's what I want to take you through today, not the encounter at the well. I want you to know that that was what happened. But here's verse 27. "At this point, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, 'What do you want from her?' or 'What are you talking to her about?' The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to town to tell the people." And this is the part that you usually hear. You don't hear those two verses about the disciples. You hear the woman running back to town. "Come see a man who has told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ?" And this brought people out of the town, and they made their way towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging, "Rabbi, please do have something to eat." But he said, what? "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has somebody brought him food?" And Jesus now explains at some greater length. And what's the first sentence or so? "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." And David Jeremiah points out, he's talking about the spiritual immune system at that point. That's feeding the spiritual immune system. "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." Some of you will know the name Blackaby, first name Henry. He said one very, very simple thing in the middle of all the profound things he said. Remember what it was? If you want to do God's will, what do you do? Look around and see where God's at work and join him there. Did you hear what Jesus said about himself? "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and finishing his work." Joining God where God is at work and finishing that. The woman at the well must have been ready for an appointment, and that might have been why he had to go through Samaria. How much of the body is water? 90 something percent. 5 quarts of blood I'm told, and almost 80 quarts of water. I've got a little more. Bruce has got a little more. You guys got a little more. Where's the water in your body? Everywhere. Okay. Short science lesson. Short science lesson. There is a device. It's running now for me over at the University of Richmond on a little bitty sample. Got to go over and take that sample out or get somebody to take it out, or they'll be mad at me on Monday. And that device is called a nuclear magnetic resonance instrument. And it is amazing what it can do. It can look at and see signals from various different kinds of atoms in a sample of some kind. And each signal for each environment that an atom is in is different. So if you get a signal here and a signal there, that says you've got two different environments for those. And you can look at hydrogen atoms, and you can look at carbon atoms and phosphorus and fluorine and lots and lots and lots of other things. Well, it turned out that the one that I use, if I were to open up my pen and look at the refill that's inside it, that's the sample tube I use. It's about 5 millimeters of sample in cross section in radius and diameter. But they started realizing, you know, if we just made this thing bigger, we could put bigger things in there. And so they made it a little bigger and a little bigger, and they finally got to where they could put a live mouse inside of there. And chicken eggs and things of that sort. And then they've got them big enough now, you can put a horse inside. Well, they started developing these things because it turned out they could look at things in the body. And what they look at in the body is they look at water. That's what they look at. When they moved these into the hospital, now David, I think you're the one in the room that might know the most about this. When they moved it into the hospital, they put up a big sign for the room that it was in. They said, nuclear magnetic resonance. And almost no patient would go in. Why? Nuclear. Right? This thing has nothing to do with radioactivity. It has nothing to do with atom bombs or reactors or this kind of thing. The whole thing, it uses radio frequency close to where some of the FM radio stations are around town to tweak these little things. It's one of the lowest power things we have. So what did they do? You've been to the hospitals.
Change the name.
How did they change it? They took the N off, left the MR, and put imaging, because that's what you can get to look at, the way things look inside. And I'm not going to try to explain to you this morning, but I can look at my molecules with this technique, and I can see, hey, this atom's over here, this one's over here, and the molecule is twisting this way. It's really cool the way it works. If you slide a body into one of these things, what it does is it looks at the water, and it turns out the water in this kind of environment, say a muscle tissue, is different from the water that's in the blood or the material that makes the lining of the blood vessel. And the result is, if you do it right, what you do is you start by looking this way and this way, and so that lets you see a point, and then you move those things around, and so you get a cross section, and you move it a little bit, and you do some more, and you move it a little bit. Pretty soon you got a cross section all the way through the body of what something looks like. Okay? If you want higher resolution, it just takes a little longer, or you got to go to a bigger magnetic field. Have you guys had an MRI? How many people have had an MRI? I have a brain. I have seen my brain in an MRI. Okay? I don't know which part you've seen your brain in. Right? If it had said NMR, few of you would have gone in the room. You'd have been crazy not to, if nothing in there but dangerous, but you would have thought that. Okay? It's looking at the water in the body, because the water in the body is everywhere. And if you look at what the water's doing in these various places, they color code it. If it's doing this, they color it this way. If it's doing that, they color it that way. And or they use gray scales or something like that. And all of a sudden you can see lots of things in the body. Now here's the point. Water pervades the body. That's the physical immune system needs water. What's the parallel for the spiritual immune system? Well, let me take you to a couple of places. I saw a hand, but let me just go on and do this. I'm still in John 4, are you? Let's go back and look. What was he talking to that Samaritan woman about? What kind of water? Living water is what he called it. And over again for the next chapter or two, you start to hear him making more and more references to this. Okay? Verse 10. one of the longer verses around, by the way. Jesus replied to her, if you only knew what God is offering and who it is who is saying to you, quote, give me something to drink, end quote, you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water. Verse 13, whoever drinks this water, the water in the well, will be thirsty again. But no one who drinks the water I give him will ever be thirsty again. The water I give him will become a spring of water welling up for eternal life. John 7. Verse 37. Look at the front end of this verse. Mine says, on the last day of the festival, what happened? Jesus stood up and shouted, mine says, cried with a loud voice, some translations say. Now, what happens when you stand up on the last day of a festival and shout it in a loud voice? People are going to look and see what you're going to say. Jesus doesn't normally draw attention to himself, but he sure is right now. And what does he say? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let anyone who believes in me come and drink. One translation says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. Scripture says, from his heart shall flow streams of living water. And I have a footnote at that point. And the footnote says, there's a different way that that might be translated. Scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the heart of those who believe in me. That's an alternative translation there. Now, in my translation, and I think in yours, there is a parenthetical comment that follows. Not every translation puts the next sentence in parentheses, but some translations do. What does it say? Just in case you don't know what he's talking about, here's the verse that helps you. What does it say? When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, which would be given to everyone believing in him. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. When was the Spirit given? To everyone. Been given to a few before that. Pentecost and beyond. What does the body need for the immune system to work? It needs food. It needs water. What does your spiritual immune system need in order to be healthy and strong? It needs God's Word and God's Spirit. What's our next one? Exercise. There's a problem. Where are the pieces of the immune system mostly located in your body? One is obvious, the bloodstream. Where's the second one? Uh-oh.
The brain organ.
It's the lymphatic system.
Ooh, yeah.
The lymphatic system, right? What makes the blood move from place to place? Pumping of the heart. What makes the fluids in the lymphatic system move from place to place? Oh, you didn't know that one. Think about it. Exercise. Muscle contractions and exercise. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Now, that's not the only thing it does. It releases endorphins. It lowers your... I mean, this thing about get exercise and eat right and all that kind of stuff. If you get the right kind of exercise, the endorphins and all that kind of stuff start to suppress your appetite. You don't go after the cookies that my wife doesn't keep in the house anymore. Luckily, there's a food line on the way to Charlottesville.
Yeah.
The body's lymphatic system, filled with disease-fighting white blood cells, these are Jeremiah's words, circulates in the body as a result of physical motion. It is not circulated under pressure like blood. Exercise and motion are critical for bathing the body's cells in lymphatic fluid. So where's our parallel? Well, you know, I've got four things written down here, but one is probably enough. For those of you who keep notes, you can keep notes. Go back and look sometime at Isaiah 40, 30, and 31, but we won't today. Go back and look sometimes at Galatians 6, 9, and 10, but we won't today.
6, 9, and 10?
Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Go look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Verse 2 through 4, Isaiah 40, 30 and 31, Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Those of you who are wanting to look at the one we are going to look at, go to 1 Thessalonians. That's where we're going to go in just a second. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, because I think this is the one that may have the most to say in the most compact way. Now, I'm going to skip just a tiny little bit, but we're looking between verse 5 and verse 23 in 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you're ready, start reading with me. You are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and sober. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly. 1 Thessalonians 5, 7 now. Protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Verse 11, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Verse 14, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. And I'm for the first time realizing what he might be saying is those who aren't getting any spiritual exercise. Encourage those who are timid. Remember how we talked about this? Warn the ones that are lazy, encourage the ones that are timid. They might both look the same in terms of what they're doing, but there might be very different motivations and attitudes that give rise to that. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everybody else. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. Test everything that's said. Hold on to what's good. Keep away from every kind of evil. And may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Immune systems need rest. I've got several places to go for that one. We're going to go to one of those. If you want the others, you can look at this later. Jeremiah chapter 31. There is a verse here that surprised me like I have not been surprised in a long time. And I want to see if I can share this with you. Jeremiah 31. 31. Lots of people know Jeremiah 31, 31, because that's where it talks about the new covenant. But there's some stuff just before that. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. In my translation, this is the last chapter of Jeremiah, so if you're not at the last chapter of Jeremiah, you might look a little further. Actually, I do too. That's true. I just got a blank page on the play. They started verse 32. Have you ever gone into Microsoft Word, put a page break, and then gone back and done some editing? I think they must have done that. Okay. That's right. Jeremiah has more than that. Anyway, chapter 31. I'm starting at verse 1. And again, I'm going to skip through some of this. Chapter 31, verse 1. In that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. I will care for the survivors as they travel through the wilderness. I will again come to give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Skip down to verse 9. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and not stumble. Verse 25. For I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. Would you please read verse 26? At this, I woke up and looked around. My sleep had been sweet. I don't get enough rest either. This is the one I need to work on. I know where I need to work. I need to work on exercise and diet. That'll make the other work. I understand that. Logically and intellectually, I know that. My hand still reaches. Do you understand? As the prophet pondered these things, he realized he had rested for the first time. Immune systems need not so much peace of mind, but purity of thinking. And right there you can put most of this morning's sermon. Right there you can put most of this morning's sermon. Again, I've got several places to look, but I think the best one is Psalm 32. So find Psalm 32, and with this we will close.
Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety.
When you start looking, the Bible's got these things all over the place. Psalm 32. Let me read this out of a different translation than I usually read from. Some of you may have this one. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all the day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. But finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And the next sentence in this translation has an exclamation point on it. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. If you live a healthy lifestyle, David Jeremiah says, you don't live in fear of germs. You instead rely on consistent investments in your immune system to defend yourself against sickness. When you make equally consistent investments in your spiritual immune system, you won't live in fear of what's around every bend in life's road. An apple a day doesn't guarantee the doctor will stay away, but it's a good start. And in the same way, healthy portions of the Word, the Spirit, service, spiritual rest, and purity of heart don't guarantee that trouble stays away. What it does guarantee is when troubles come, they'll succumb to you and not you to them. Next week, we're going to look at 10 specific areas to work on to try to make this come true. That's our list for today. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for our bodies. We thank you for how wondrously made we are. And this morning, we thank you that we can see parallels between how you've made us spiritually and how you've made us physically. So today, we pray that you would give us the motivation and the ability to act, to bring our spiritual immune systems to a point where we are protected against the things the world throws at us. Help us live in you and with you, with your spirit pervading every part of our bodies. We thank you for the food that you give us. We thank you for the water you give us. We thank you for the service that you, opportunities you offer to us. We thank you for rest, and we thank you for peace of mind that comes because you have forgiven us. All these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.